Our scripture readings today have just been sung. My brief reflection will draw on Zechariah 9 and Matthew 21. Now, each of the four Gospels contributes something unique to the story of Palm Sunday. Mark was probably the first Gospel writer to tell the story, and the one whose timeline established that the triumphal entry took place on a Sunday. The Gospel of John, interestingly, is the only Gospel that mentions the waving of palm branches. In the other Gospels, the people cut down nondescript branches and place them on the road. So you have John to thank for making you hold up the leafy palms and wave them back and forth. Otherwise, we might be celebrating nondescript branches Sunday. And the Gospel of Luke includes one of my favorite anecdotes. When the Pharisees were complaining to Jesus about the noise of the crowd, and it might have even been a friendly warning not to get in trouble with Pilate, but the Pharisees were complaining that the disciples were simply shouting too loudly. And Jesus responded that if they were kept silent, even the stones would cry out. We can thank the Gospel of Luke for that story. The unique thing about Matthew is that Matthew has Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey and a colt, two animals. Now, I know in the cantata it's just saying Jesus sat down on the animal, but in the original Greek, the word animal is plural. There's a donkey and a colt, and Jesus sat down on them. Now, why does Matthew depict Jesus riding into Jerusalem on two animals? Now, if you look at the bulletin cover to today's bulletin, you can see how the 14th century Italian artist Pietro Lorenzetti tried to reconcile Matthew's account with the other three gospel writers. He painted the Palm Sunday procession with Jesus riding on top of a donkey while holding the reins of a young colt that walked beside them, which seems like a plausible enough way to depict the scene. But again, in the Greek, Jesus sat down on the animals, plural. One time a woman in a Bible study group told me that she used to imagine Jesus riding side saddle on the larger animal while using the shorter animal as a footstool. Now, however you might imagine the scene, Matthew wants us to see Jesus riding two animals at once. So why does Matthew have us seeing double? To be honest, some scholars think that Matthew may have made a mistake. Matthew quotes a line from Zechariah 9, verse 9. Lo, your king comes to you, humble and riding on a donkey, comma, on a colt, comma, the foal of a donkey. Now, it might sound like Zechariah is describing two animals as well, but only one animal is meant. This is an example of Hebrew parallelism in poetry. So on a donkey, comma, on a colt is the same animal, but just said slightly differently for different emphasis. It would be like if I were to say to you, Jesus came riding into Denver, Colorado on a bronco, comma, on a horse. Only one animal is intended. Now then, if I said that the Broncos were soundly defeated by the 49ers, I'm no longer talking about an animal, but about a team. So did Matthew make a mistake? Or does Matthew have his own reasons for making us see double? New Testament scholar David Garland suggested that Matthew found hidden meaning in the two words, donkey and colt. The donkey, a coronation animal, may have been a symbolic of Jesus' royal status as the son of David, whereas the more humble colt may have been symbolic of Jesus' servant role. I'm inclined to agree with David Garland. I think that Matthew wants us to see the symbolism in both animals. I think Matthew wants us to have double vision. Matthew wants us to see the cheering crowds, but Matthew also wants us to see how the rest of Jerusalem is in turmoil. Matthew wants us to see how on one level the religious authorities and the Romans and the evil powers that rule the world are teaming up to take Jesus' life. But Matthew also wants us to see on an even deeper level how Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of David, and how the forces of heaven have the upper hand, and how Jesus gives his life freely as the ultimate repudiation of violence. No one takes it away. He gives it away. And Matthew's double vision allows us to see how Jerusalem is the holy city of the Son of David, but it also allows us to see how Jerusalem is the city that kills the prophets and stones those sent to it. To celebrate Palm Sunday as Matthew celebrates Palm Sunday means that we already anticipate Jesus' passion and his death on the cross. And we begin to anticipate how Jesus' death will lead to our salvation. And to help us understand this, Matthew not only gives us double vision, he also gives us double hearing. With one ear, Matthew wants us to hear the crowds chanting their joyful hosannas. And with the other ear, Matthew wants us to hear those hosannas as a cry for help. Some biblical scholars point out that the likely origin of the Hebrew word hosanna is a contraction of two Hebrew terms, yasha, meaning to save or deliver, and na, meaning to beseech or pray. So you might translate the shouts of the crowd as, "We beseech you to deliver us." Thus, hosanna sounds like a joyful, celebratory word, but it's also a plea for help. Lord, save us. We beseech you to deliver us. Hosanna. Lord, save us from the shame, from the sinking feeling that we will never measure up or be good enough. Hosanna. Lord, save us from deep disappointment in ourselves. Hosanna. Lord, save us from the paralyzing grief that prevents us from moving forward. Help us to hold on to what we need to hold on to, but also help us to let go of whatever it is we need to let go. Hosanna, Lord, save us from our own worst inclination. Hosanna, Lord, save us from cancer, from COVID and long COVID, from Parkinson's, from ALS, from MS, from Alzheimer's, from dementia. Hosanna, Lord, save us from loneliness. In our middle schools and high schools, there's a cry of, "Hosanna, Lord, save us from Tuesday's math test." And there's also a cry of, "Hosanna, Lord, save us from the bullying. Save us from the pressure to conform. Save us from the school shootings. Hosanna, Lord, save us from the addictions over which we have no control. Hosanna, Lord, save us from the cruelty, from the harsh treatment that is too often given to immigrants and refugees. Hosanna, save us from the savage inequalities that are tearing apart the fabric of our society. Hosanna, save us from racism, from sexism, from homophobia, from transphobia, from every ism and phobia that causes us to fear the other. Help us instead to embrace the beauty of each person's humanity. Hosanna, save us from the rancor that seems to make public discourse impossible these days. Hosanna, save us from sin. Hosanna, save us from the hell of feeling ourselves abandoned by God. Hosanna, save us and all those in harm's way from the ravages of war." What is the thing in your life that is weighing on you most heavily right now? What is the nature of the unresolved grief that you carry within you? What are your deepest longings for yourself and for our society, for all of our communities, that so far have remained unfulfilled? I invite you to acknowledge those for a brief moment of silence. And now, having acknowledged them, let us pray together to God for deliverance. Together, let us shout, Hosanna! 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 One more time, Hosanna! 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 All glory and praise be to our God.